strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 24th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I'm okay. I'm better than the other updaters who are so dead that they can't even be here. But I am on quite a lot of cold medication, and I was also yesterday while I watched the feeds and took these notes. So just a disclaimer, I might not make a whole lot of sense today, but do I make a lot of sense normally? That's up for debate. So,
a plague truly has befallen the live feed updaters.
A plague.
A plague, as Kirsten says.
You know what? Here on a Big Brother Canada update, I think I should be able to just have my regional, you know, differences in speech without hate. I think everybody should be speaking more like us during Big Brother Canada. So that's right. You're going to say it. It's bag. That's right, everyone. That's how it's said.
Yes. Well, we are here to bag up the update for...
Oh, no.
And let you know everything that's happening in the Big Brother Canada 7 house. Yesterday, it was day 22 in the house, and there's a lot that went on. There's a lot going on. There's still some plans in the works, some things happening, some people moving around. So we got a lot to talk to you about today.
Yes, there is a lot, but I just need to say first, I'm really, really annoyed that day 22 happened on the 23rd of March. It's making me really mad, and it shouldn't, but it really is.
It's literally since I started counting putting the days in the update notes, it's literally my entire notebook is 3/22, day 21, 3/20, day 19. It's just one off. Why did they do this to us?
At least it will be April soon and the days will no longer, you know, correspond with the days of the month and it'll be a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah.
But it drives me truly crazy.
All right. So to start the day off, something else that's going to drive a lot of people crazy is that Kiki and Esty were talking about, hey, I think there's a guys alliance. I think that maybe it's like Dane, Anthony, Mark and Adam, and they're like keeping each other safe and making the girls all go against each other. Wouldn't that be so smart of them to do that? Yeah, that would be. That would be really smart. I wonder if they're doing that. Nah, Dane's loyal to us.
Yeah, they're just like Esty asks, like, oh, do you think like they'll turn on us first? And Kiki's like, yeah, they're always bringing up girls' names. And like 2 minutes later, it's like, yeah, but like Dane, we have to protect Dane. He is with us. Like, he would not turn on us. He would turn on them. And it's like, well, okay, I guess.
And Anthony, he's so cool. He would never do that to us, right?
Yeah, it's at... At one point, Esty's doing her mirror chat yesterday, and she's like talking about the people she actually cares about. And Dane and Anthony are two of the people. So,
yeah,
it's so infuriating.
Yeah. People were getting very excited about this, especially yesterday morning as it was happening live during the update. And I was like, you know, let's remember who is saying this and not get our hopes up. You know, I think that should stay in place here.
I think that for all of us to enjoy the rest of this season, we need to keep our expectations low. So that at the very least, you know what, our expectations will be met. It's whatever, the PB, whatever, are running the game. One of them wins, blah, blah, blah. But best case scenario, literally anything else happens. But if we keep our expectations low, we can't be disappointed.
Yeah, I've got to say, I am really enjoying the feeds, though. There's just something about the dynamic in this house and the people in it that's really interesting to me. And I was trying to figure out like what it is. I think that part of it is that when there's secrets, when there's like a big secret and it's like permeating every relationship in the house, it makes every conversation more interesting to me because everybody's playing each other versus when like all the alliances are kind of out in the open and it's just down to competitions. Then they're just hanging out and like actually having real conversations. And that's like real life. That's boring to me. I like when there's like secrets in every conversation.
See, I was going to say it's like a horror movie where you're just screaming like, don't go in there. Don't do that. And yes. So it's just like that level of anxiety the entire time, which is, I think, bringing a little bit of it to us, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll get back to it later when we talk about this very interesting conversation between Kiki and Mark. But that's not till the end of the day here. Yeah. So Kiki and Esty, they go through that. And of course, it's not really going to go anywhere. But Kiki does talk to Esty does talk to Kira about this, I guess, possibility of a guy's alliance. And again, I don't really know where this idea came from, if maybe Kira had talked to them about it before and that's where the idea sparked. And then they kind of talked about it again. I don't know why they felt comfortable going to Kira with this potential information. But they talked to Kira or Esty talked to Kira like, hey, you know, what about, do you think there's a guy's alliance? We didn't really see this on the feed, so we don't know exactly again where this, what mm-hmm. happened here or what it was. But Kira is, we found out from Kira that they ended up telling Chelsea and Sam that Esty is talking about a guy's alliance. And so they literally talked about it that morning, and immediately this is spreading to Chelsea and Sam, who are going to tell Adam. And this is like just spreading like wildfire. You can't mention the guys and alliance in the same sentence without this like just immediately going to the guys.
Well, yeah, and now it's going to look like it was, you know, Esty who came to this realization, when it's not, Kiki came up with this really. And Esty was like, oh, really? Like, you think so? Oh, that would be so smart. And then now it's going to get pinned on Esty, which is not good for her.
Yeah. But for whatever reason, it doesn't really blow up. Sam and Adam talk about, oh, should I go and tell Anthony about this? Should I go to the guys and let them know? And they're like, oh, maybe you should wait. And ultimately, they kind of hold on to the information for now. It doesn't really go anywhere. And I honestly, I don't think it will end up mattering all that much. I think that the guys feel so confident in their control of Kiki and Esty for kind of good reason that I don't think they'll care if they hear about this.
Well, and it just also feeds into like the threat of the day is that Kira keeps talking about how they are going to blow up, that there is this all guys alliance and it is somehow going to save both them and Chelsea from eviction, because for some reason they still believe that Dane would target Adam or one of the boys. And it's like, okay, so you're sitting here, you're pretty sure there's a guys alliance. You think that this is a problem. One of the guys is currently HOH, but you're going to blow up the guys alliance as your way to save yourself. Like, there's just a disconnect there where even when they kind of think, okay, there is this guys alliance, they are working together. Everyone still thinks that they have their guy more than the guys alliance does, which is the exact like reason, I guess, why this works. But I don't know why everybody thinks that their hold over everyone is stronger than everyone else's hold. But yeah, they do.
And in Kira's case, it's that they seem to believe that both Adam is more loyal to their sort of people and Dane is more loyal to them. Like, they feel like they are really developing a good relationship with Dane and that Dane trusts them with a bunch of information. And it's like, no, Dane is playing you. He's playing you and you're falling for it.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, anyone thinks that they have Dane more than either the boys or Esty is a little bit ridiculous, but it's just this misinformation is everywhere, as well as the true information. Everyone's confused and it was messy yesterday.
Honestly, nobody should feel like they have Dane, including the pretty boys, because this guy has no allegiances to anybody and he will stab anybody in the back and he will basically let us know that as well. Like, this, he has no loyalties in this game.
Dane is literally exhausting to watch. Like, just the way that he communicates, honestly, it's so tiring. Like, I need a coffee just to keep up with him talking. I don't know how anyone keeps a straight face when they're talking to him, because I feel like I would just be glazed over, like, what did you just say to me?
He has this secret weapon, which is that he has teeth missing and he just looks like a dummy. And he comes off like he's just a big dumb jock. And like, so nobody thinks that he is as savvy of a player as he is in the way that he's a savvy player, which is like this social sort of I'm like playing everybody kind of thing. They think he's a lot more genuine than he is because of how I think how he looks and how he sounds. And I think that really helps him because it's like, no, he's lying to you.
Well, like, and literally week one, he swore on his dead father and went back on it. And he has now sworn on his father again, but people still believe him, which is absolutely wild.
Yeah. And he's saying that, like, he talks to Mark later and he's just like, I literally split the house in half week two. And the half I went against, love me. The half that's, that I went with, love me. I don't know. I can't even make people hate me in this game. This is a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I feel like those are the words that come before the fall, but okay. the minute you're saying things like that is the minute, you know, bad things are coming. Anyways,
I'm with you. And we talked about Anthony last week. And I think the problem is that we've got like four different people talking like that. Not all of them can fall.
I mean, they could all fall. It's still only week four. Yeah,
it's very true. Very true.
But yeah, it's nuts. I'm really upset that last Sunday I didn't come in with my Mark reminds me of season three Kevin Martin take, because now it doesn't seem that exciting or interesting. I had it in my notes and I didn't say it. And now I'm just like, no one will believe me that I had it written down.
All right. Mark and Adam are going to talk a little bit. Mark wants to know if Adam wants Chelsea to stay, because that's what they're concerned about. They're concerned that Adam is going to start campaigning for Chelsea because he's controlled by Sam. And so if Sam wants Chelsea to stay, then obviously Adam wants Chelsea to stay because he's completely enamored by Sam and will do anything she says, which is like, oh my God, they're so dumb. So Adam's like, yeah, you know, I think there would be benefits to keeping Chelsea. I think that Kira is actually a bit of a threat here. Mark is kind of like, I don't know about Chelsea. Mark also says to Adam, look, if I win the next HOH, I'm going to make a move. It'll be good for you.
And good for the pretty boys.
Good for the pretty boys. Also good for you, ultimately.
Yeah. He also says, stop giving Sam so much information because he runs around and tells everyone. And so I think we all have a little bit of an idea on what Mark's move would be if he wins.
Yeah. You know, Mark is interesting because he really, I think more than anyone else, puts on a different face depending on who he's talking to. And with Adam, it's usually, and he's actually, I think, referred to it this way, it's a lot more the carrot than the stick with Adam for Mark. And so, you know, Mark is the one more than anyone else that brings up, like, I don't know, just throwing this out there, guys. Is it that bad if we keep Sam around? I don't know. That's all I'm saying. So, I'm not entirely sure what Mark would do. I also know he would love for Sam to not be in the jury. If he's going to be sitting next to Adam, but I really don't know. I think that there's definitely a chance that he takes out Sam, tries to keep Kira around as a potential final two goat, or he tries to take out, I thought maybe he would go after Esty and Kiki, but as we'll talk about later in the day, maybe that's not as on the table as we thought. And so, lots of possibilities here for Mark. Maybe he is really gunning for Sam at this point. He certainly is telling the other pretty boys that.
Yeah. And so, but we don't know what we can believe because all we see is Mark being a different person with everybody. And we don't really see, he doesn't really talk to the cameras. We haven't really seen a lot of DRs from him. So we have no idea what his, like, who's like the real Mark. But he doesn't connect socially as well as some of the others. So I just think that's a big red flag with him.
Yeah. So power of veto players are going to be picked here. Obviously, Chelsea and Kira will be competing. They will be competing with Sam, Corey, and Mark. So Sam is competing in the veto. The possibility here for Sam to win the veto and take Chelsea off the block is still in play. But then the question becomes, can Sam win it? And if she does, will she even use it? Because she talks with Dane and she's really trying to convince Dane not to backdoor her. So she is promising him the stars and the moon and everything in between because I will definitely not use the veto. Oh, of course not. Dane, I would never do that to you. Just don't backdoor me if I lose. So, you know, it's hard to say what Sam actually would have done, because spoiler, she lost the veto if she won it. But there was a lot of controversy about, like, will she win? Will she throw it? If she does win, will she use it? We're not sure, because Dane is just like, hey, you, if it comes down to you or Kira, you have to win, Sam, but you can't use it. She's like, I would never use it. And then he also comes up with the plan of like, hey, also, if you could get Chelsea to throw it to you, that would be great. And it's like, I don't know if Sam is that cold-hearted, Dane.
Yeah, no, Dane literally is like, if it's between you and Chelsea or you and Kira, you have to win. And you just tell them that you'll win so that you'll be safe and you can save them, and then just don't use it. Like, do you, like, you really think Sam is about to be that, you know, savage this early? Like, Dane really thinks people are just going to do what he tells them to do.
Yes, Dane is also going to basically go around telling people that if the veto is used by Sam, that Adam will go up on the block, which I actually think is a smart thing to say. He's banking on the fact that Sam won't win and use it. That's a small possibility. And if that possibility does come up, then he'll have to have a little bit of explaining to do. But in the event that that does not happen, which is the more likely outcome, then it does kind of take some of the heat off of this idea that maybe Adam and Dane are working together, that he was willing to put Adam on the block, because who else would he have said he was going to put on the block? And also it's a deterrent for Sam to use the veto, because he also tells Sam that, like, hey, like, I don't want to put Adam on the block, but in the event that you did use the veto, you know, I might have to, you know, put Adam on the block. And she's like, oh, well, I wouldn't use the veto anyway, so it's not even a problem. So that is the story. And I do think, I do think that, you know, I think that for me, the last few days have been a sort of realization that these, you know, these pretty boys, they are learning. And I do think they're getting better at the game as they're going along. You know, Dane in particular, I think, has gotten better. He realizes now that he should not be the one to go after Sam this week if he can help it. He's realizing that he should say that he's targeting Adam to certain people in certain ways where he's not actually going to have to do it, because it does take some heat off of him. I do think that, you know, Anthony has learned to some extent, but maybe not as much as the others. I think Mark is learning, and I think Adam is sort of, you know, trial by fire here, just trying to hold on.
Yeah, I like, you're like, they're learning, Dane's learning, Anthony is doing fine, Mark is learning, Adam's there. He's there too.
I think Adam is learning that, like, what I think Adam is learning is that his entire worldview has been wrong. Like, I think he's learning that, like, What am I doing with my life? Why am I loyal to these guys? I'm loyal, but why? This sucks.
Yeah, just with him having the closest relationship outside of the Pretty Boys, makes it a little bit more difficult for him. And I don't think he realized it would be this difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dane is, he talks to the cameras and he says, like, look, I really hope that they don't win the veto in Chelsea or Kira, because I don't want to put Sam up on the block this week. It would cause so much drama. And this is a complete 180 to even just a few days ago. Like, I really do feel like they're starting to figure out, like, the right game plan for themselves. And, he's like, I really hope that Chelsea or Kira don't win. If Sam does go up, then, you know, get ready for some popcorn, guys, because it's going to be crazy.
Well, and but the thing is he acts like that's the only thing he could do, but there are so many other viable moves where he could, you know, just do something that would be a little bit less dramatic, since they all are pretty sure there's going to be a double coming this week. I feel like this game is like, have you ever seen those graphs where they're like, what people think success looks like? And it's like a straight line. And then it's like, what success is actually like? And it's just like a jumbled, like, spiral. That's what this game is, because they take two steps forward, then three steps back, and then suddenly they figured it out and everything's right. And then all of a sudden it's back to just stupidity, and then it's exhausting, but entertaining.
Yes. Nikki in the chat, I really like this. She says Adam has had this plan for 5 years, but he didn't expect that it would be this hard. I think that's totally on point here. I think that he really feels like this is the Brigade 2.0, and he's like so attached to that idea that even though his feelings are pointing him in another way, he's like, but this is how it's supposed to be. And he'll even have a conversation later where he's like, I'm like the Hayden of the group. And you guys have to pull me back in from the Kristen.
Well, and the thing is like, that totally makes sense because Adam has been trying for so long to get on the show. He wants to be there so badly. And he probably goes to bed like a majority of the nights thinking, what would I do if I actually got in? What did I do wrong that I didn't get cast? How could I play the game really well? Like, what would I do if I was there? And he's just, he's in his head so much, and it took him so long to get there that the reality of it is just so different from what he had imagined, and he's having trouble coping with that.
Yeah. We're also getting asked, why is the POV ceremony today? Apparently, it is on the screen that the ceremony is today. I'm not sure why. It is usually on Monday. I don't know if maybe it's an error or if it is actually going to happen today. And if it does, then why? Maybe it's because of the double. Maybe there's another twist coming up. Who knows?
Yeah, they might need more time to get the footage together for something else that's happening in the Wednesday or Thursday episode. It could even be something as like little as staffing issues where the people who need to like be behind all of the, you know, walking through the door and all that, they just might not be available tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
It could also be, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that No, but I was trying to think if there's anything else like a big like one-off production that Insight might be working on tomorrow, but I don't think so. So I don't know.
Yeah. You know, so it might indicate something. It might not. Just kind of stay tuned, I guess. So Esty is also going to talk to the cameras, and yeah, I think you can see Kirsten. It's a pain face.
Just so much. Like she's like, I'm so annoyed. People think I slept in Dane's room and I didn't. People are saying we made out and that obviously didn't happen.
I did not sleep with that gentleman.
I did not sleep with that pretty boy. And she's like, Kiki tried to make up a couple's name for us in front of everyone. And I'm so upset that she did that. And I know she didn't have ill intent, but I'm frustrated. She knows I wouldn't want that.
She also was talking about how Dane has good relationships with everyone in the house in front of everyone. And it's like, come on, have a brain. No, she has a brain.
She's like, am I the only one with a brain? Oh no, sorry. Kiki's really smart. It just made me mad. Like, at least just like be mean. Just be mean talking to the cameras. Don't, you know, backpedal. It's just very annoying. And then finally after that, she's like, okay, now I'm going to break down my game.
Yes.
It's like, hey, thank you. That's what we're here for. That's what we want.
She says, Kiki is my number one. Dane is my number two. Then Anthony, then Damien. I don't really care about anybody after that. I don't trust Eddie or Kira. They're irrational. They're not trustworthy. The people I want to see go home, Chelsea first, then Sam, then Kira, then Mark, then Adam, then Damien, and just minus Mark from this list. And it's like, this is exactly what Dane and Anthony want.
Well, and the other thing too, is she says that Damien is one of the people that she likes up top. And she says, yeah, then probably Anthony and Damien. And then she wants Damien out before other people who she said she doesn't care when they go. It's just like, what are you talking about?
I think she mostly just forgot about Eddie here. And
she didn't
maybe
say,
Corey.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why she said Damien so early. I think I feel like she was probably just thinking like Damien last, you know, and then it would be the four of us, Dane and Anthony. And she forgot about like Eddie and Corey because like, you know, can't really blame her that much for forgetting about Eddie and Corey.
You know what? That's great for Eddie and Corey. Keep being forgotten.
Yeah.
I think last week when I was like, I don't think Corey has a chance to win. I think it was more so because I was like, she's coming in late. There's no way that someone who comes in late could win. But I'm coming around on that. Corey might actually have a shot. So there it is. Happy for her.
Yes. Doing pretty well. She is competing in this veto though. So we'll see how that goes for her.
I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah. Adam, Dane, and Anthony have a conversation, and this is the one where Adam brings up that he's the Hayden. But before that, Adam is going to try to do his little campaign to try and get Chelsea to stay. They were prepared for this, so like they know that that Adam is going to try to do this. So basically, everything Adam says, they just immediately go no. So Adam's like, listen, guys, I was thinking, and he's trying to be, you know, subtle. Yeah. Adam, you know, I think that, you know, to Kira, she's, you know, Kira, they're going to start running around. They're going to start talking about a guy's alliance. Like that's kind of a threat. And doesn't matter. No, we don't care.
Dan's like, good.
Yeah. Great. Nobody will believe them. Everyone knows they're a liar, so it doesn't matter. He's like, I get, I feel like they're the only ones that are going to put up like two guys. No. No, we'll weasel out of it. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Chelsea's going home.
Kira's like, what if they go around saying there's a guys alliance? And Anthony's like, we'll deny it.
Yep. and he's like, so he keeps running into a brick wall. So then he kind of pivots and he's like, okay, I have this information about Kiki and Esty. He's like, okay, well, what do you guys think? Do you think Kiki and Esty will ever, you know, do you think they're thinking about a guys thing? I'm like, no. They're so focused on Sam, it doesn't matter. They'll never find us out.
And yeah, like, and then Adam's like, but me and Sam.
Yeah, he's like, do you mean Sam and myself? No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Sam will go. You'll be safe. It'll be fine.
Yeah, Dane's like, do you understand this? Literally, just like treating him like he's so stupid to his face.
Yeah, and then Anthony's going to give him a whole thing about, like, you have to understand that Sam and Chelsea, they were plotting against you, and you have to know you can't fall into that trap, and, you know, when you build your castle on sand, then it will crumble, so we built our castle on concrete. And that's really the, you know, the saying that's going to stick with them.
Yeah, and Anthony also is like, the loyalty's etched in stone. We will never plot against you. The girls have been plotting against you. So it's just, okay, cool. A little churchy for me, but okay.
Dane is going to talk to Chelsea and be like, hey, Chelsea, you got to win. You got to win this power veto. Because basically when he was talking to the cameras, he was like, if Chelsea or Kira win the veto, then I have to backdoor Sam and I have to pretend that was the plan all along. And so this is him trying to plant those seeds to Chelsea. Like, hey, Chelsea, you got to win the veto. I'm telling you, you know, I want to make something happen here. And then after she leaves, he says, sorry, Canada, my word is no good.
You know, I respect that at least.
Says it straight up.
I respect it.
Yeah.
It's not like he's trying to pretend that his word. Well, he is kind of, but not really. Not
he's
with us.
To the other house guests.
He's being honest with us, which is what matters to me. So, you know what? Awesome. We
don't
love,
lie
we love
to
that.
Us. So the veto is played, and I don't know if you caught the foreshadowing in this update. It was planted in subtly.
It was really subtle. Yeah. I don't know.
But Corey is going to win this veto, and I don't like this.
Just
from Corey.
Why?
She really didn't have to do this. There was no benefit to her. She's not getting anything out of it. And you know, half the house is already calling her like G.I. Jane, G.I. Corey. I don't know what it is. But they already are feeling a little bit threatened by her, especially in the physical sense. And this was apparently a physical competition that she just dominated. And she won it pretty handily.
Well, and the other thing too is, like, yes, it does seem like it was super physical, but it also seems like maybe it was played in rounds of, you know, like one versus one. And so Corey probably benefited from not really being chosen to play that much. So she should have certainly thrown this.
Yeah, I mean, basically how most people were talking about this competition was like, wow, we never had to worry. Nobody was beating Corey. So it's like, that's not a good thing for people to think if you're like playing the game that Corey is playing, you know.
But it's also like, it might have been very, very obvious that it was in her wheelhouse, and so her throwing it might have made her look sketchier. Like, until we actually see the competition, we won't know for sure. Like, it might not be as bad as it seems. Like, she's just gonna not use it probably, so especially since the ceremony is happening today. So I think she'll probably be able to slide by and do okay. I'm worried now she might like really try to win the double, but I don't know.
Well, she's pretty quickly going to talk to Anthony about winning the veto and what she should do about it. And Anthony is, you know, going to go through his whole, well, here's what's going to happen. You use the veto on Chelsea, and then Sam goes up and everyone's mad. And so basically he's just telling her, don't use the veto. She's like, I'm not going to use the veto. And so she also is going to say, like, I'm going to talk to Dane. And she's really concerned about, like, what she's going to say to the people on the block about, like, why she's not going to use it. Like, how do I tell them I'm not going to use it? So that's what she's going to talk to Dane about in particular as well. So that's her kind of whole thing.
Yeah, because, like, Corey's very nice. Like, she very much worries about what other people are going to think or say. And I think that's why Anthony has, you know, such a stranglehold on her, because he's like, if you do this, people will dislike you. And he reassures her that he does like her and that people do like her, but, like, the right people to work for his game. So it just, she's a people pleaser. And that's my biggest concern with her.
Yeah. Adam talks to Chelsea. He's really still hoping that Kira will go home. He would rather have that happen. He hopes that Kira will blow up and then everyone will be mad at them and make them go home over Chelsea. Chelsea kind of feels like, even if Kira blows up, I think I'm still going home. Chelsea's really, like, she really feels like this is a lost cause. She's kind of done.
Yeah. And it also sounds like maybe she also was close to winning the veto, and so she says, you know, the comp probably sealed the deal as well.
Yeah, so
it's sad. Like, I want her to fight. I just want her to fight.
But I think part of the problem is that the way for her to fight at this point is to completely throw Kira under the bus, and she's really concerned about her public image. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I think that she, you know, she's like an ally, and she doesn't want to be seen as, like, really just trashing this person after they really went on after her, like, saying mm-hmm. That she was using them and using their crush on them their crush on them, and then saying that, like, that they were being manipulated by her. And I think she's really, like, really concerned about all of this stuff, and she's just kind of like, you know what, I'm just gonna let Kira take this one.
Yeah, Kira's guilt trip worked very, very well. Probably better. Like, I don't even know how much Kira was intending it as, like, a guilt trip for her game, and how much, like to affect Chelsea's game, right? Yeah. Like, I thought Kira was just personally upset with how Sam had been treating them. Yeah. But it has worked out really, really well for Kira. So, it's just, it's really disappointing. Like, Chelsea came in, Chelsea was the one who did pageants, right? And Chelsea was like, I'm pageant girl and I'll stab people in the back and all that. And it's the worry about the public image is just really, it's really disappointing to see someone just lay down and die.
Yeah, I mean, there's still plenty of days until the eviction. So
it's a very flip-floppy house.
Yeah, very flippy-floppy. People saw Dane say that in the episode, or sorry, Damien say that in the episode, and they were like, Damien's been watching the live feed updates. Saying flippy-floppy.
That was actually the high-level intel that he won in Canada's vote. He was actually in the Leon's Lounge watching RHAP.
Yeah, they just, you know, they didn't want to show that on the episode. That would be too too crazy.
Yeah, it's too game breaking.
But yeah, I do think that there's so many days left. I hope that Chelsea's fighting spirit will kick up, get sparked, and we'll have some fun. But for now, she feels very defeated.
Yes, and then with how, like, Kira reacted last night too, like, with what I assume we're talking about next, is just a lot. Yes. Like, it's just too much.
Kira has a conversation with Sam and Chelsea. And first Kira is talking about, like, you know, oh, I hope Canada saves us. I hope there's a Canada's veto.
Canada's going to feel bad that we're against each other. And Chelsea's like, Canada doesn't give a shit. It's just right.
And this is the worst. This is one of the worst parts about the twists is everyone always being like, Canada, save us. And the fact that it will work if there's a Canada's thing, because they'll add the edit will be that way. But Kira really hoping that Canada will save them. And then Kira talks about how they've talked to Dane and they're trying to get Dane to maybe, you know, flip on Adam. And they were talking about him working with the guys that kind of confronted him like, hey, are you working with the guys? They stood their ground. And Dane said, no, I'm working with Kiki and Esty. And, you know, I kind of have a good relationship with Anthony and I have a good relationship with Adam and I'm using him as a shield. And I'm really hoping that the guys, I can get the guys to turn on each other. And that's the game plan. They're like, wow, Dane told you all that information. And
yeah,
like,
it sounds like, why did he tell you all that?
Like, yeah, he's trying to pull me in as a number to work with. So he's trying to get me to trust him. And Chelsea makes a joke like, you know, I could use this information to like send you home, right? And Kira just like bursts into tears.
Like it goes from 0 to 100 immediately. If you're one of the people who just goes by the updates and doesn't watch the feeds, there is this video on Twitter and you should absolutely go back to watch it because Kira is inconsolable immediately. Like it's not even like she's like, I'm having a lot of trouble because a lot of the house guests have just completely stopped using correct pronouns for Kira, which is really not okay. So when I'm reading the updates, it gets confusing. And updaters, we need to do better. We don't need to do direct quotes of what they say. We can just use the correct pronouns. But they are just immediately like sobbing. Like they're not trying to like block tears. They're not trying to stop doing it. They're just out of control. And they're like, Chelsea's like, stop crying. I'm going home. I'm not going to use this against you. And Kira's like, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. I trust you too much.
I trust you guys. I trust you guys too much. It's such a problem for me. Like, oh man. Apparently there's more of this happening as we speak.
Oh my God.
Because Kira is going to continue to basically campaign for themselves over the course of the day. And I guess this came out a little bit. And so now they're in an argument with Chelsea where they're doing some more guilt tripping. And can you not do this to me? You are questioning me and it feels like you are putting up a wall against me. And Chelsea's like, I've talked to you for 4 seconds.
Oh my God.
Kira says, I know, but I saw the way you look at me.
It's just so much. Like the emotional outburst, like Kira honestly just needs to keep it cool. Like they just need to chill and they'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
But they're losing it.
Chelsea says, I haven't even said anything, Kira, but I feel it. Oh man,
it's just so like it's too much. Like Kira is doing too much.
Then Kira runs to Corey. She's going to do everything to blow up my game to stay, even though we have been friends. What the f? I'm so annoyed.
Like it's just yes. It. Oh, sorry about that. Yes, it is annoying to be you know up against the person that you are the closest with. That is a horrible situation because you are put in a place where you have to either lay down and die, which is horrible and everybody hates it, or you have to go against your close alliance member. And it's frustrating, but you have to do that to stay. Like, it's such an opportunity to be there. You have to just do what you have to do. That's Kira, just what it is.
Kira is that perfect storm of laying a massive guilt trip on their ally, who they're on the block with, that like, how dare you even think about doing anything without me or campaigning at all. Then they go and campaign their asses off.
Yeah.
And then if they get a hint that the other person is saying or even looking like they might campaign, they're like, how dare you? I guilt trip you once more. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so much. And even at one point yesterday, Chelsea said, like, I haven't really, like, as a result of the guilt trip, Chelsea says, I haven't been loyal to you before, so now it's the least I can do to be loyal now and just go home. Stop.
Yeah,
just
and
stop.
They've talked to the cameras about like to think I was even considering using the veto on Chelsea instead of myself.
No, you weren't. You were not doing that. Like It's all well and good to say that you are going to use a veto on someone else when you are on the block, but unless you have that true love connection, real love, it's not happening.
It's all well and good to say that after you've now apparently decided not to do it anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is going back to last night. Kira is crying. Chelsea's like, it was a joke. Chill. And they try to comfort them. And, you know, it's a whole thing.
It's so much.
So Corey is going to talk to Dane about not using the veto. She's going to go through what she's going to tell Kira and Chelsea. You know, basically, I don't want to go against the HOH. And you know, it's a fine conversation. Corey's really, again, just like, this is what I need to say to Kira, that I'm respecting the HOH. I'm going to say to Chelsea that, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And you know, it happens. Next, we're going to have Kiki and Mark, and this is one of these conversations that I was talking about earlier, and like, just, this is a very, I found this to be a very interesting conversation. It was very hard to watch, especially at first, because basically Kiki, as we know, hates Mark. Mark knows that Kiki doesn't like him, but they both had a good relationship at the start of the game, and it just deteriorated because they don't like each other very much, or at least Kiki doesn't like him very much, and he was aware of that. And so, but they both have been pretending that that doesn't exist. And so anytime they have a conversation, it's just like Kiki being super passive aggressive, like with every comment and every bit of body language to Mark, and Mark, you know, basically being like pretending to be completely oblivious to it. And so they're just pretending to get along. And so the start of this conversation is just all kinds of hostility all over the place, where Mark is like asking questions and Kiki's just like, I mean, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, and it's also too, earlier in the day when Kiki and Esty were talking about, oh my God, wouldn't this all guys thing be so smart? They even, when they're talking about their relationship with Mark, they're not like, oh yeah, Mark getting close with us. It's Mark trying to pretend he's close with us, like we're pretending to be close with him. Like everybody knows.
Yeah. And so it's like, Kiki knows that she needs to pretend that she doesn't hate him, but she's so bad at it that
she has such an expressive face.
Yes.
Like she can't.
She radiates hatred in his direction. And it's so awkward. And then, so they're talking about, but they're trying, at the same time, they're both trying to bond. And it's this weird, weird dynamic, but it was really interesting to watch, especially because of the dynamics involved with power and who's keeping what secrets. She's asking him, he wants to let her know a secret. This will help them bond. His secret is that he was actually in radio, and that you know, that's it's a big deal, and I'm really smart, and I worked in radio, and you know, Kevin Martin's my favorite player, and you know, all of, like, she's like, wait, what? That was your secret?
Yeah, Bronte is shaking.
I'm sorry, just felt like you were gonna say more. And he's like, no, I mean, that was I just, please don't tell anyone that. I really hope you don't tell, even Esty, don't tell Esty. Like, this is my secret, it means a lot to me. She's like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like, I mean, like, I understand it means a lot to you, it just felt like that's nothing.
Yeah, she's like, you guys are pals? Like, you're pals with Kevin Martin? And he's like, we're not pals. I never met him in my life.
Never met him. Nope. That's not it.
Yeah, she's like, I thought you were going to drop a bomb, and that wasn't quite anything.
This is basically like if Bronte had been like, I'm a secret mathematician, and instead of, her friends being like, whoa, they'd just been like, okay, lame.
Cool, okay.
Math is lame. Why are you telling us this? It's basically Kiki's reaction.
Yeah, and Mark's like, you wanted to know why I like Kevin so much. She's like, whatever. Like, whatever.
And so he tries to like get to like, and they're trying so hard, and it's a weird dynamic where it's almost like he's trying to ask her out on a date and they're friends, and she's trying to find the right words to tell him, I'm not interested in that way, but let's remain friends. But it's not that. It's actually the complete reverse of that, where he's trying to propose like, hey, let's like get on closer terms. Let's get like, let's bond some more so that we can work together better. And she's trying to be like, I hate you. And I'm trying to hide that so that we can remain working together. Mm-hmm. And so
it like, it really, it reminds me of like, if you're on public transit and you have your headphones in and then some guy just keeps talking to you and they won't stop talking to you and you like take your headphone out and you're like, uh-huh, yeah, cool. You put your headphone back in and they say something else and you're like, what? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Except for that they are on this bus for a few more months, so they have to be a little bit nicer about it.
Yeah. And you know, this person that's talking to them could be a valuable ally on the bus.
Yeah. Like, this is someone like, you're there and you have to be there for a long time. It's not just like three bus stops and then you're off. But that's what it feels like to me, as it's like every time I see Kiki talking to Mark, I'm just reminded of any time when I have to be like, what did you just say to me? And then yeah, you like put it back in and they're like, no, like that's just what it reminds me of.
And she's also like trying to get through the conversation without saying as much as possible. So like, mm-hmm, she's like trying to explain like why things have been weird. Cause he's like, you know, you've kind of been an asshole to me for the last 21 days. And she's like, are you calling me an asshole? And he's like, no, I'm saying you've been an asshole to me for the last 21 days. And it's just, they have this sort of thing. It's just so weird. And so she's like, well, listen, like, you know, you talked about Kevin Martin, how he's your favorite player. And if you think about it, Kevin Martin, season 3, had Peely. Kevin Martin, season 5, had William. And that's, you know, kind of shady. You see what I'm saying? It's like, yes, I see what you're saying. Totally, just, totally get that.
It's just so much. And I also like in the middle of this conversation too, Mark's like, Kevin was 1,000% going home. He was only saved because of a twist. He's like, she's like, but why do you like him so much?
And she was like, well, that's what he was like. He only made it because of William. And he's like, she was like, exactly. they do eventually start, because what he eventually figures out, right, is that the face he needs to put on here is that of the sort of nerdy guy asking a pretty girl out. And so he starts putting on this sort of air of like, hey, you know, I'm just like this lowly guy. And, you know, I just feel kind of left out because it's, you know, it's you and Esty and Dane and you guys are so close. And I just kind of feel like I'm left out sometimes. And, you know, Dane is just such a great guy. And he's carrying us, right? Like he's winning all these competitions. I just want to step up and I want to like prove I'm worth it and like prove I'm worthy and carry my own weight and prove to you guys that, you know, that I can add something to the team. And like this sort of like humble, like self-deprecating, like I just want to prove myself thing really plays into the idea that Kiki has of their relationship, which is that Kiki holds all the power because she is the one that's closer to Dane. She is the one that's closer to power. She has this group and Mark is on the outs with everyone. And so she is in the position of power when really he is the one in power because he's with the pretty boys, but he's feigning that he's not. And so it plays into how Kiki wants to see him and she starts to open up to him more and they start to like the conversation turns and it starts to be good. And she starts to want to know like, hey, so, okay, Mark, who are you? How can I get to know who you are? And he just runs through his entire life story from like, I was born in 1990 to present day, basically. And she actually, I think, found it kind of interesting and it opened some doors and they actually started having a pretty decent conversation.
Yeah, it's, and you know what? I admire it because sometimes you ask someone for their life story and they're like, so I was born here and then I went to school here and then now I'm here. That's my life. It's like, it's your whole life. Okay, cool. So at least Mark is like a little bit more, but I'm still like at least 3 times a week I go to write a tweet and I almost write Mike instead of Mark. Like literally, like, and I realized why, because I don't know why, but like, all I can think of is sailing instructor Mike, who was almost on Big Brother US a few years ago.
Well, like, because basically Mark, like, part of her suspicion and other people's suspicion is that he went to religious school for a really long time. And they're like, how is he so smart if he went to religious school where they only teach you about religion? And he talked about, like, his family put him in religious school, but he eventually, like, hated it and didn't want to go anymore. And so, like, after years and years and years, he even went to Israel to go to religious school. He got his GED, with the book. And he studied the book and then went to college for a couple of years for media studies and then got into radio. And he also talked about how he's taken an IQ test and he was tested for his IQ, I should say, and that his IQ is either 156 or 159. Kiki couldn't remember, and I don't think it was on the feeds. So that's out there. And lots of people are like, okay, Mr. BuzzFeed IQ test.
Well, and it's also like, to me, someone who's going on about their IQ score is someone who's not that smart, because there's so many problems with IQ tests, and like specific communities are like never going to do as well on them because of like all sorts of other like social issues and all of that. So anyone who's like, oh yeah, I know my IQ and this is what it is, I just immediately discount them as not as smart as they think they are.
Yeah. And so I will say, to defend Mark here, based on Kiki's explanation of how this went down, and I don't think this was really conveyed as well enough through like updates or whatever, but the way Kiki said it was that he, like, in sort of his story of himself, he talked about how he was tested. So I don't think this was an online quiz. I do think that that based on what Kiki said, it did seem like it was an official testing sort of thing. And she also said that she was like, so what's the number? And he was like, he didn't want to say. And she was like, what's the number? And he said, like, IQ doesn't matter. It's a dumb stat anyway. Like, it's not a thing. She was like, but what's the number, Mark? And so then he finally said it was like 156 or whatever. So
yeah, but like, he brought it up in the first place, so he wanted it to come up. It's true. He could have just skipped that part when he was tested for his intelligence. And I'm not saying I don't think he's actually smart. Like, he's proven, like, especially with his rhyme for what happened on every day, and he just like can rattle off every single event. Like, he's obviously smart and he's got that. Like, I was trying to remember, like, when I was in sequester, I was trying to remember what day things were, and I was like going over things in my head, and like I had a pretty good idea of it and I was doing pretty well, but like I didn't have anything going on. I was just like, what was for breakfast on this day? Like, and that's so, to remember all this is very impressive.
Yeah. And I don't know, it is a sort of an interesting life story. And he talks about like how being in religious school is part of why, you know, he never went through a real, like a normal sort of go to school childhood. And so he has problems socially because he never really learned how to interact with, you know, normal people. He studied to be a rabbi, like, and so, but, and it's also interesting because, despite the fact that I think he does really well in this conversation in playing Kiki and in playing up to what she wants him to be, he's still Mark, right? So he will often go off on tangents, explaining things, like over explaining things in a really condescending way. And you can see her body language immediately change. Like she's like starting to like fall into this, like, okay, I'm kind of liking this. And then he's like, then he like way over explains something and she's like, oh, okay, shut up, Mark. And
yeah, he gets like, in his own way a little bit.
Yes. Yes, very much so. But basically, long conversation, and it was very fascinating to me. And by the end of it, they're both feeling pretty good about the conversation. Kiki or Esty and Dane eventually join them, and Kiki is pretty insistent on like, guys, let's name this alliance. Like, Kiki is feeling pretty good, I think, at this point. And so they try to come up with names, and it's pretty embarrassing because they're very bad at naming things. Kiki at one point suggested, and this was probably oddly one of the best suggestions, Pen 15. Esty did not understand what that was.
Pen 15.
They were really set on the Misfits, and Dane had to be like, pretty sure that's been used before like 15 times. So
wait, are you telling me that it is not creative or unique to refer to yourself as a Misfit?
I mean,
this is news. This is brand new information. although to be fair, I don't hate Trinomite. I'll say it. I'll really? Be the one. I don't think it's up. I actually kind of like it. I'm going to say it right there. It's the best alliance name in the house right now.
I just want to say that Kirsten's views do not reflect the views of Rob Has a Podcast.
Well, since the last time this came up on a podcast, everyone crapped on it. I think that the people know that.
So then they sort of break apart. Mark talks with Dane afterward and he tells him about the conversation with Kiki. He feels like it went really well. They talk about Dane is like, okay, so, cause they're the people that know the show better than Kiki and Esty. And so they're like, cause they were the ones that were like, no, this has been used before. This has been used before. And Dane was like, what's an alliance name that's been used for a fake alliance? Can we use that name for this alliance? They were like, I couldn't really figure it out. I was like bomb squad.
I swear to God, the only thing that could make this season worse for me is if people started calling themselves the bomb squad. I can't do it.
I can't remember now. Big Brother 14, the Ian alliance. It's had something to do with dogs, right? It's just escaped me. But that was a fake one too. Even though it's talked about as one of the more successful alliances. It's funny how that works. Mark is. They just talk more about a quack pack. That was it. Not dogs, ducks.
Yeah, you said dogs, so I was confused, and I was gonna say quack pack, but I was like, did I just forget about?
I got confused because Dan always talked about how they led Ian up with the leash because he was in the dog costume at the time.
Yes, and he had to have someone walk with him at all times.
Oh, what a season!
Truly, what a season.
Yeah. Mark is trying to see ahead and make sure that nobody is in the house that's going to pull a fast one and nominate two of the guys. And they talk about how they're kind of wary of Corey and how good she is at competition. She's a beast. G.I. Mm-hmm. Jane. She's dangerous. We need to watch out for Corey. They do feel like Anthony has a good handle on that for now, but they need to keep an eye on her for sure. And then they talk about Anthony and Dane brings up to Mark. Anthony, he talks and it's like angels singing. You should have seen him talk to Adam. It was like he talked about castles and sand. we built our castle in concrete. And I was just thinking man, I cannot sit next to this guy in the final two.
I would pay money to hear Anthony's final speech with the Timons and Pumbaas and the castles on the sand and the rocks and. Would he use any real words or would it all just be platitudes?
And the final line of his final two speech would be, but most importantly, I stayed humble all season long.
No. God. Meanwhile, he's like, things are legendary.
This marks the all three of the other pretty boys, the final person that Dane has gone to talk about final two. So he has a final two with Anthony. He's mm-hmm. talked to Adam about how they can't go to the final two with Anthony or Mark because they're both good speakers. He's now talked to Mark about how they can't go to the final two with Anthony. He's too good of a speaker. And how Adam, especially if Sam gets into the jury, is going to have a jury vote already. They talk about, Mark talks about you realize, right? That's $14,200 of equity in the jury. Every single vote is worth $14,000. And so it's with Sam in the jury, if you're up against Adam, then you have to get four of the remaining six votes. That's one vote matters a lot. So Dane, really the only person within the Pretty Boys that's really playing the Pretty Boys. And so right now he is easily the best positioned amongst them. However, Mark is lightly playing. Mark has a lighter hand. And I wonder if that's the better approach because Dane is a bit exposed here, having talked to all three of them about all three of them. And if any of the others talk amongst themselves, that could be dangerous, which would leave Mark in a better position. But Mark and Dane seem to be the best positioned within the four if the four make it really far.
Yes. And then between the two, Dane is, better insulated in the house, obviously. Yes. So, but I do like Mark's approach better. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Mark too, is that I think he'd have trouble winning against any of the other guys, at least right now. And so, you know, when he talks, because they also talked about how Kira is a final two goat, and Dane even mentions, like, it was really smart of Kevin to take Karen to the end over Dimitri. And I was like, I wonder how Mark feels about Dane saying that. Because I really feel like, you know, Mark has talked about Kira as a final two. I really wonder what Mark's final two plans are, if he thinks maybe it is worth trying to bring somebody like Kira to the end, because I do think that would be his best shot to win.
Yeah, definitely. And Dane really goes all in on Karen, and I just want to disavow that. Like, people need to be like, you can call Karen a lot of things, but she was not useless. Like, she won nothing.
Okay. Let me just get this out of the way. All of the house guests this season have the worst Big Brother takes of all time. They suck. They have the worst takes. They can't get anything right. They all talk, and I was going to bring this up when I talked about Damien and Corey, but I'll bring it up right now. Half the house thinks that Kayla should have won because Paris did nothing and the jury was bitter and Kayla won. Everybody knows at this point, I firmly disagree with that. I think that's a complete wrong read on the jury and the final two players. The other half of the house, the Damians and the Corys of the world, are like, that goes to show what kind of players they are, thinking that Kayla should have won because she backstabbed. We're the correct decision makers. We think that Paris deserved the win because she was nice and played a nice game. And that's how you should play the game. And it's like, that's almost worse than the other opinion. That's not how Paris played, and that's not how you should decide the winner.
They all have bad opinions, and the house guest opinions are not representative of the opinions of Bravo's podcast.
Apparently the veto was like comp beast themed, and they were mad that Kayla wasn't a part of it, but Erica was. I don't know, like, not like physically there, but I think they were like, there was like images. I don't know what exactly it was, but they were like, Kayla won way more POVs than Erica. And luckily Kiki was the one person that was like, yeah, but Erica was there like a third of the time. That's why she's so good. But they're like, it doesn't matter, it's the record. And then Dane was talking about, like, it's so annoying, this is a dumb twist. I should be playing these vetoes, but I'm not, because of this dumb twist. I'm not going to break any records.
Oh my God. And you know what? We want to talk about comp beasts. We're not talking about Ashley Wood enough anymore. Okay, guys. Huh?
Wasn't it like two or three in a row? Two in a row, maybe? Maybe three?
I think it was three in a row.
Yeah.
So that's all. Yeah. Anyways, people need to put some respect on her too.
Yeah. Just stop having bad takes here, guys.
Yeah, if everyone could just have the correct opinion, that would be great.
Anyway, Kiki and Esty are going to talk about Kiki's conversation with Mark, and Kiki feels good about it. She explains most of the conversation. She actually does withhold the radio information. She doesn't tell Esty about it. She tells Esty about the IQ stuff, but the thing that Mark said, please don't tell anyone, including Esty, she actually did not tell Esty. So take that for what it's worth. I mean, that's a good decision regardless of how she feels about Mark, because it's such an inconsequential thing that it's just not worth telling anyone.
Even if it blew up later, which it absolutely won't, because it does not matter.
You're right.
You can just say, yeah, I didn't think it mattered. They've never even met. He basically just told me he really likes Kevin Martin.
Right. This is just basic game logic. It's an inconsequential thing. So don't tell anyone, because it's not worth the risk that then Esty tells somebody, and then it gets back to Mark, and then he finds out that he can't trust you.
Exactly.
So Kiki is going through and telling the conversation to Esty and talking about how Mark really wants to prove himself. He really wants to get in good with them, and he feels on the outs because of, you know, it's like it's a thing with Dane and Esty and Kiki, and this is winning Esty over. Esty's like, oh, poor Mark. And they talk, it's something else that they talked about was that Mark is really annoyed at Sam, and that he really wants to target Sam, and that makes them feel good because they've been worried that Mark is playing both sides. And so Kiki was like, I also told him about how you know, Adam was jealous of him and Sam, you know, and that sort of whole thing, and he was surprised by that, and he was like, oh man. So they're really starting to feel like Mark is with them, and you know, it was a successful conversation. We'll see how much this holds, given, you know, know, Mark's bad social game most of the time. But for now, this is really, you know, been working. Also, another thing that's really been helping Mark's image in the game is that during the Power of Veto competition, there was, I don't know exactly what happened here, but Kira, I guess, was having trouble with something, and Mark, like, stepped in and really helped them and, like, carried them through to a thing. And I don't know, Kira later is going to be like, thank you so much, Mark. That was, you know, Canada's going to see that. It's going to be a really great, like, great moment for TV. And so, you know, something happened in the veto.
Yeah. And there's also, I know at one point Chelsea has said that she felt bad that Mark was really tired, but she thought that because Mark was tired, she could beat him, which is what led me to believe it was a knockout type competition. Yeah.
Yes, it definitely was, because they talked about choosing people and,
yeah,
oh, the reason Sam chose me is because blah, blah, blah. So Anthony and Mark are going to talk a little bit. They talk about the house. Anthony talks about Damien being dangerous. Mm-hmm. Shut up, Anthony. He also talks about Eddie and how Eddie is sketchy, but they can control him. Anthony has a terrible plan for if Eddie wins the HOH.
The absolute worst plan. Like, he says that if Eddie wins HOH, they will pull him in a room, tell him they're in an alliance. Here's what you're going to do. And we will bully him into it. He literally says, we will bully him.
Basically, yeah, he'll pull him into a room, say, we're all in an alliance. We've been in an alliance. And if you target us, then the rest of us will come for you next week and you'll go home. So, but if you work with us, then we'll pull you in. And so that's, so like, we'll bully him into it by saying those things.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's actually going to bully him, but he literally is like, we will bully him. Like, that's a direct quote.
Yes.
And it's just, and because the best time to pull someone in is when you haven't pulled them in for 4 weeks.
And yeah, and so, like, during this explanation, he's like, we'll pull him in and we'll say we're in an alliance. And then what he'll do is, and Mark is like, run to everyone and tell them we're in an alliance. Yeah. He's like, no, no. And Mark is just like, this is, I don't know if this is the best idea ever.
Yeah, because Mark is trying not to be too adamant about it because he doesn't want to, like, exert too much control and make himself seem like he is a threat to the pretty boys. But Anthony is just like, this is what we're going to do, and this is what's going to happen, and it's definitely going to work. And he's getting so overconfident from all the other things he's done that have worked that he's just decided this horrible plan. Like, I really hope he built this plan on sand instead of concrete, because he should not stick with it.
Honestly, I think most of Anthony's plans are built on sand instead of concrete. this reminds me of the plan to get Chelsea to be the one that to take Sam out. It's like, never actually happened. I don't expect this to actually happen. But it's just, it goes to show the kinds of, like, crazy ideas that go on in Anthony's mind sometimes.
He is thinking about everything. Yes. It's like, Steenanets on Twitter always talks about people being rabid gamer squirrels, and Anthony half the time is a very good definition of that.
It's part of why I think that he is able to be so confident, is because he thinks about things so much more than everyone else. He's thought through every scenario. So anytime you bring up any scenario, he's already got, like, boom, I've already thought about this. This is what's happening. While you're still trying to, like, think it through and reason it out, he's already figured it out. He's already got reasons to back himself up. And that can really help him be like this sort of, like, no, this is what we're doing. So, you know, anyway.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Finally, last conversation we'll talk about. Damien and Corey have a very long conversation in the have not room. It's a very long conversation. They're building trust. They're telling each other things, both basically explaining their games to each other and how they're both playing very similar games, which is like, just trying to hang in here, not say too much so that we don't get targeted. And, you know, hope that eventually we can make something happen. Corey in particular talks about her strategy is that she doesn't want information. She doesn't want people to tell her things, because then if she knows things, she'll have to lie, and she doesn't want to lie. And this is like the two kind of normal, nice people in the house having a conversation, and just like, it's sad because they're so off about so many things. And they're like, yeah, you can tell. It's like, you can see that think about it. Everyone who's been lying, they've been leaving the house. It's like, there's a karma. There's something that's just, it just ruins your game. That's what's happening. It's like, No, no, no. Guys, the reason that the liars are leaving the house, even though they might have had power, is because the people who have the real power are convincing you that these people need to leave because they're liars. And the people that are staying in the house are the ones doing the convincing because they're the liars.
And also, I don't think anybody can say that Mackie was a liar. He didn't have that capability.
So, you know, they're trying, but they do seem, they talked about the Paris and Kayla thing. Guarantee you these people will be, are inclined to be bitter jury members. They are not going to be wanting to vote for, if Anthony is up there talking about castles, they're not voting for Anthony. If, you know, if Mark is up there explaining what a GED book is, they're not voting for Mark. They are, I think, the people that would vote for Kira over one of the pretty boys, if that was an option.
I mean, possibly, but I think Corey would be more inclined to vote for Anthony than
right now. Yes. But she doesn't know
how much happens.
He's been. By the way, Corey, it's very funny. And maybe also a little bit sad. Mm-hmm. Corey's been hanging out with Anthony a lot and she has been picking up on his methods. So she explains to Damien. So what I've figured out is if you just give people advice and act like a mentor, then they just tell you things. It's like, oh no, she's. This is Anthony's thing. She's picking up on it.
I love Corey mansplaining Anthony's mansplaining strategy.
To Damien. And it's also really ironic because in this conversation where she's explaining that, like how she doesn't say a lot so that people say a lot of things to her, then she goes on to explain her entire game and give away all of the information that she has in the game to Damien.
She is truly just a people pleaser at her core. Yeah. She just wants to make people happy, which will, you know, do well for her for at least a while, I would
yes.
say.
She lets Damien know that Eddie is sketchy. He had a final two with Chelsea, that he will run to power. And Damien's like, good to know. And she's like, don't tell Eddie anything because he will run that information all over the place. And Damien's like, definitely good to know. checking that one on off my list. And she also says about her mentoring thing, she did that to Mark. And Mark just basically admitted to her that he's playing both sides. And Damien's like, also very good to know.
Yeah, I feel like Damien's game of Big Brother is like he's playing Clue and he's got it. And he's like, okay, yeah. I'm checking off. Mark thinks he is going to play both sides and he's a good liar and give people advice. And like in 3 weeks,
Sam is a mediocre liar.
Yeah. Okay. I think Sam kind of played those production answers unintentionally. Like she gave literally the best possible answers. I'm a mediocre liar. I'm going to try to be myself. I've seen half the seasons.
Yeah. There you go. So that's what's going on. We've got targets building on Damien, Corey, and Eddie. You know, a little bit some danger coming toward Kiki and Esty with their talk of a guys alliance. We've got the pretty boys starting to, again, continue to sort of play themselves. Mark doing a lot of work. Anthony being Anthony. Corey winning the veto. Lots of stuff going on. I've got to say, I'm just really enjoying all of the different dynamics going on in the house. I know it's probably all leading toward one conclusion, but I think I'm realizing and I'm able to analyze even more why I do like the seasons like Big Brother 16. Not to say that this is necessarily like that season. It's still very early. There's still a lot of things that can happen, but I just really enjoy watching the social dynamics here. There's so many interesting things going on, and that's why this update is so long, because there's so many, hopefully you guys are finding all this stuff as interesting as I am as I'm explaining it, because I'm kind of like glued to the feeds right now.
And it's a good way to be glued to the feeds. Like yeah. That's all we can ask for, is to not be bored on the feeds. The only other thing I would want to bring up, because I thought it was kind of fun, was when Kiki and Esty like made up yesterday after Esty was mad at Kiki. Kiki's like, you're mad at me. And Esty's like, I'm not mad because it was just stupid. Like, you know, it was stupid. So I'm not mad at you. It was just such a like interesting apology. Like, no, I'm sorry. But like, she's like, I'm not mad at you. Because you know it was stupid.
But then Kiki explains to Mark And then again in front of Mark and Dane and Esty. And then she tells Esty and she's like, yeah, Esty got mad because I made up a, you know, a couple name for you, Desty. And
and it's so bad.
And then so then Dane talks about it to Esty, and Esty was like, oh, so you told Dane, did ya? And Dane, the again, this is part of why Dane is able to get away with a lot that he does, I think, especially with Kiki and Esty, is that he just seems like so over the top in his crush for Esty. And it seems like Esty is playing Dane. But again, the real power dynamic is flipped there, and they don't realize it. But Dane is like, oh, yeah, I was talking to Esty, and she was like, once Chelsea leaves, you know, or one, and once Sam leaves, like, who's going to be the target? It's going to be us three, so we can't hang out as much. Like, oh, I guess Esty doesn't want to hang out with me. And he's like going to really like harp on that all night long. Like, oh, I guess we can't hang out. I guess me and Esty can't hang out. And he talks about like, Esty doesn't like me like that, Kiki. You know, it's not like that, you know. Like, he's playing the sort of like forlorn, like, I've got a crush, but, she, you know, she doesn't like me, so... You know, I've accepted it. And it just makes it seem like he is under their control when it's not the case.
Yeah, he's kind of doing what Kira did last week, except for he's doing it intentionally as a game move.
All right. So there you go. That's what's been going on. Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Kristen?
No, I think we've covered everything.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Kristen is at Kristen Said What. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the feeds, whether or not there will be a POV ceremony. And then tomorrow night, we'll have our roundtable, talk about the week in the feeds, recap the whole thing, go over the state of the house, where everybody stands, and then... Stockwatch. We'll rate the players. Have some fun. So check it all out. And thank you for joining us. See you next time.
Bye, guys.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.